This week on All My Children, Opal breaks out her Ouija board and goes dark lady again.
The Haywards break out with incest, the game the whole family can play. Ew.
Zach and J. Lou play Go Fish.
And Bianca and Reese are the lucky ones because they get to just go. All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
In the mind.
Oh my God, I have the greatest idea. Let's go to Guiding Light and let's pull some of their biggies. It'll be fabulous, fabulous.
We'll have
He's a
storyline.
He's so entranced by the sounds of his own voice. And yes, I mean you, Brian Franz. I don't care if you're my Facebook friend or not.
I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
We watch so you don't have to. So I'm going to tell you what happens in this particular story.
But I'm telling you right now, if you want me to continue doing it, you better be going into the pen pal and sending me some money because I can't take this anymore.
It's PayPal.
PayPal, whatever.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
He deserves to be fired. Homeless.
Suck it, Brian.
Suck it, Brian Franz.
I see. I can see. I can see.
She was good.
She was good, but it was just so corny.
I can see. Stop moving, because if you move, it gets a little bit blurry. I can see.
Here, I'm so over it. All of it. Just be done with it already.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson Gaga.
And you are listening to the Pine Valley Podcast Lady Gaga edition, ending May 1st, 2009.
Woo! A little money, honey.
Oh, my God.
Boys, boys, boys. Now you like boys in cars. Boys, boys. I saw Lady Gaga last night, and it was off the hook. Oh, my God.
I am not. I was telling Jordan, I'm not a Lady Gaga fan.
I know, and I think you're insane. Let me tell you.
You compare her to Madonna, people.
Oh, no. What I said was...
You said she was better than Madonna.
No, I didn't say she was better than Madonna. I said that she is going to probably be, if she plays her cards, right, she is this generation's Madonna in the sense that she's an artist who has a concept and a style and is unique and is expressing herself the way she wants to. Unlike Britney and Christina, who I love, though, you know, I love me my Britney and Christina, but they were a product of like, you know, those first CDs I didn't like. I mean, I don't have Christina's first CD or Britney's first CD. I didn't like them until they got slutty, you know? So what I'm saying is like Lady Gaga.
Also, they're also just kind of themselves, all kind of.
Yeah, they were very cookie cutters when they started, and it took them a while for them to find their voice. Lady Gaga's right out of the ballpark. She knows who she is and what she wants to say, and she's outrageous and fun.
She's heavy-handed.
No, she's not.
I saw her at American Idol. She was very gimmicky.
You're just old.
Let me tell you something.
That was the thing that impressed me. I could not believe the crowd. She had people of all ages, of all races,
really?
Of all sexual orientation. I have never seen. So there was like a great grandmother in the audience. I was like, what?
David Canary there?
I don't know. David Canary wasn't there, but I think his mother was there. I mean, this woman was old. I could not believe she was there, but she was there. She was there for the concert. I was like, get out, grandma.
Go for it.
It was beautiful, and I have never seen so many queens in their fag hags in one room. Let me tell you, it was off the hook.
What did you wear?
What did I wear?
Yes.
I wish I would have worn something a little more skimpy because it was hot. I wore this really thin Gap black sweater, but
Sweater? Really?
Well, no, it's very thin. It's from the Gap. It's very thin. It's, you know, because I didn't know what the weather was going to be like. I didn't know the place was going to be hot.
Where was the concert?
I don't know. It was somewhere on 56. I never heard of this venue.
Oh, it wasn't like Madison Square.
No.
That's too big.
It was, well, let me tell you something. It was crowded as hell. We went to see the second show. Supposedly, they were saying that Madonna and Lourdes were at the first show at 8 o'clock, but I went to the second show. When my clients took me, they were so sweet. They treated me and they took me out. We had a great time. We were dancing up a storm, even though it was too crowded to really dance, but she really knows how to work the crowd. She was too funny. She came out in this crazy bubble outfit at one. I mean, she kept changing outfits. It was just great. She has a great voice. She can really sing, unlike a lot of these singers out there today. She can really belt. I'm all about Miss Gaga right now. Very the House of Gaga.
Fine. Lady Gaga.
Oh, and her moves. Oh, that choreography was sick. I was living. I was like, oh, God, she's crazy.
You sound as if you're talking about One Life to Live.
Yes, One Life to Live was hot this week.
Oh, no, we can't. We just started the podcast.
Okay. Well, I will say this about All My Children.
What?
You know, for the last 3 weeks, I have been bashing to no end As the World Turns and how hideous As the World Turns was.
Yes, you have.
So Friday comes along, and I'm watching As the World Turns, and all of a sudden, it calmed down. It's like the last 3 weeks of all this crazy, plot-driven, destroying characters, storylines seemed to end. And for once, I was watching an episode of As the World Turns that did not have me
and you didn't,
hurling.
And you didn't have that little taste of bile in your throat?
Exactly. I wasn't hurling. I was like actually like engrossed. They're starting a new storyline. They introduced a new character. It was like, calm.
New character? Calm. Who?
Oh, this nerdy younger boy for Emily. Emily
what
the Cougar.
What is it with the nerds? Is he a good nerd?
He's not a nerd like Petey. He's actually very hot. He's a computer person, and it's a timely storyline. Emily found out, Lucinda told Emily that they're canceling her newspaper, The Intruder, and it's going to go all digital. And that was a timely storyline.
I like Emily and Lucinda.
Yeah, and Emily told Lucinda, like, well, I can't do that. I don't know nothing about computers. The most I know is about answering my own email. I'm a print person. So Lucinda was like, well, we got somebody from our IT department and we're promoting him and he's going to be your co-editor.
I like that it's a switch too because Lucinda's older than Emily. So
yeah.
But
Elizabeth Hubbard is great. She has this line. She tells Emily, she goes like this. She goes, well, darling. She goes, I remember when we went into this newfangled electric typewriter and I got through it. So you can get through this. Nobody delivers a line like Elizabeth Hubbard. Veterans are the best. The veterans are best.
I love the veterans. Especially the grand dames.
The grand dames, yes. And Miss Hubbard's deaf.
She's a grand dame.
This woman, like, I would pay to just read her, like, listen to her, like, go over
read the phone book.
Yes, she's definitely that. So then I go to All My Children. Because, you know, I've been enjoying All My Children. I'm not 100% happy with it. But for the last 3 weeks, I've been able to watch. That ended on Friday, girl.
Ooh.
Friday's episode was right back to nonsense.
For me, it was Thursday.
For me, it was Friday. I was like cringing. I could not deal with what I was watching. I was like, why? And it's back to these.
I wish we watched
over
together.
The plot story. I
we
know.
We watched together.
Because we live so far away, from,
far
each
away
other.
From each other.
It's not like, we're not like Lucy and Ethel. I don't live downstairs.
I used to be in the Bronx, but I'm in Brooklyn now.
Yeah, I'm still in the Bronx, girl, and I'm dying to get out, let me tell you. There was the only rumble in my building. This never happened in my lifetime. Last night, I was like,
oh, really?
I got home from the Lady Gaga. I don't know where 150 kids. I don't know who was throwing a party in the building.
Oh,
and there was some
God.
Big bruja. And I live in a great neighborhood. Like, I don't live, like, in a bad neighborhood,
right,
you know,
right.
But I called the cops. I was like, I'm gonna slap my soup upside the head when I see him. I was like, why are you renting to like people like this? Because my building's like the nicest building on the block. It's like,
yeah.
And I'm on a main street, so it's not like a shady area. But I don't know. It's like the neighborhood's going to the dogs, girl. I gotta move out.
Well, us also going to the dogs. Did you check out that Nightline interview?
Oh yes, yes, yes. Frank Valenti look hot.
You look good. Can I ask you a question?
Jordan Valenti. Jordan Hudson Valenti.
Is it Valentini?
Valentini Valenti. I don't know. All I know is that he's the baby's daddy.
No, Valenti. Now I'm confused. Now I'm forgetting
he's
which
cute.
One it is because we always confuse it so much.
He's cute.
But hear me out.
What?
Didn't he sound more, even in the 2 seconds he had to talk, didn't he sound like 1,000 times more intelligent than Julie Haddon Crap Brothers?
Julie Haddon Crap Brothers sounded like she was Dina Lohan's sister.
Didn't she?
She was so
right?
stupid.
And it was so funny because when they said Julie Haddon Carruthers.
No offense to Long Islanders, but you know, I'm just saying.
When they said Julie Haddon Carruthers, I was like, who's that? Because I'm so used to her as Julie Haddon Crap Brothers.
She was an idiot. Nothing she said made any kind of sense.
No,
it was
she was
so,
full of crap.
It was so diarrhea of the
we
mouth.
We can say this word. She was full of shit is what
yes.
she was full of.
Yes.
She was
diarrhea
like,
of the mouth.
Playing the company line. Like, okay, I could see that from Susan Lucci, who looked beautiful in the interview.
Ooh, yes.
And I actually thought she did a great job. She was very Susan Lucci.
She was very I like that question that the producer's like great grandmother asked or something. What was it like? Why is Erica?
My great grandmother wants to know, why is Erica Kane such a bitch?
Go ahead. Tell them what she said. Do it like Susan.
Wait, how does she laugh?
No, like. Like that's it.
Well, I don't think she's a bitch. I think Erica Kane is a woman who knows what she wants and knows how to get it.
Oh I love that. I was like, woo,
I'm like, that's a good answer.
That was a good answer. I was like, you tell that grandmother.
She knows what she wants. She wants it when she wants it. She knows how to get it.
Exactly. I've never thought of...
I have no problem with someone like that.
I've never thought of Erica as a bitch.
No. Yes, you have.
What?
When she used to battle her mother, Mona, and used to scream, they had some great clips. That's the one thing I will give the interview. They had some great old clips. And I remember when I was little being so mad at her because she was so mean to her mother.
I know, but that's
different. She was so nice. I was like, she's such a bitch.
But I don't look at her that as being, that's just a spoiled girl. I mean, her mother loved her to death. She had daddy issues. She blamed her mother for the father departure. I always thought of Erica as a complex woman.
Who wrote Erica when she was that?
Agnes Nixon. Agnes Nixon wrote the show.
Perfection.
Wait, Agnes Nixon wrote the show into the '80s, into the mid '80s.
Perfection. When she wrote Erica Nixon.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like if anybody's a bitch,
her mother loved her no matter what.
As the way it usually is when you're a parent, that's usually the way it is. You love your child unconditionally.
Cockamamie, crazy BS. Mona never really pulled anything cockamamie. She didn't have to.
But you know what? She, as much as she's always stood by it, she never coddled her. She always told Erica.
Thank you. That's my point.
She always stood up for her.
That's my point.
I mean, it stood up to her.
I mean, you think of some of the moms now, they're so like whitewashed. You know what I mean? Like,
but they're not even mothers. They're not even mothers.
I don't know. It's just so weird. I don't know.
All I know is that for me, Friday was the beginning of the end of all my children. Any little hope that I had was blown away like a tornado came to town.
He was really upset about Julie Hannah Crapother's statement about, because the interview, basically, people, if you haven't seen it, YouTube it, go to abc.com, it's on there. If you haven't seen the interview, it's basically about soaps getting affected by the economy.
Yeah, but
which is BS, because it was really just about Cameron Matheson and Susan Lucci.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the interview was kind of bullshit because they didn't really like get into the meat of the potatoes of like.
They really didn't.
That's what I'm saying. That's not journalism. That's why I think me and you, we need to get our own show on the E Network.
The obvious stuff is like, okay, Deidre Hall from Days of Our Lives took a pay cut. Duh. Susan Lucci took a pay cut. Duh. We all know that. You know what I mean?
You know what you guys need to do? You guys need to petition Chelsea Handler because she is going to be developing programs like her own show on the E Network. And don't you think that me and Ashley doing a show
on soaps
or even on entertainment?
Thank you. You're better than that, though. Than me on that.
You will work fine. I think we should be on the E Network.
Listen, if they were paying me cash money, I would watch a little more television. Yeah,
but you do watch a lot of television. You watch a lot of nighttime shows.
I don't watch what you watch. You watch everything.
Yeah, but you watch a lot. You watch a lot. And you know music.
Yeah, right.
But we would have to cover everything.
Just like
we cover everything on the All My Children Pine Valley podcast.
Where's Stash at?
We cover everything on the Pine Valley podcast.
We do.
Anything so we don't have to talk about Pine Valley.
We gotta talk about it.
So where you wanna start?
But I didn't tell you about the comment that Jason was mad about.
Oh, well, yeah. What was Jason mad about?
He was really mad about the comment that Julie Hannah Crapo's made, that she said, at the end of the day, we can put these characters in front of a black felt curtain and the viewers would watch for their stories and their characters. Now, she's right to one extent. She's right in one way. And I said this to Jason. If you're writing good stories with our characters who we know and love and in ways that we know them to be, we will watch. I don't give a crap about all the bells and whistles and stuff. I will watch for good stories. But this indicates to me that she's taking us for granted. I don't know why. It almost felt like, what's the word when you put somebody down?
Condescending. Almost felt like,
yes, condescending. That's the word. It almost felt condescending to me. Like, the monkeys will watch no matter what. You know what I mean? Like, but then they showed those people who were saying how they like to imagine themselves in the stories, or sometimes they yell at the TV like we do. And that's important. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise, people.
But that's what makes us soap fans so great, is because we do care.
Yes, but people care. You know what I'm saying? People get involved with stories. That's why people tell stories, Julie Hannah Crapothers.
Now, see, I don't think...
Because it's important.
I don't think Erica Kane's a bitch. I think Julie Hannah Crapothers is a bitch.
Yes!
There you go. You're a bitch, Julie Hannah Crapothers.
This is what we're fighting for. Listen... An hour every day with people that you love, that you know, okay? You get to know them. You get to care about them. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Why should I feel like a idiot because I love to watch soaps and I get involved in the stories? Why? true. I think it's beautiful that people feel passionate feelings one way or the other for these people that they're part of their lives. Don't cry. Are you crying?
I'm crying because you're talking about this stuff, and this has been bothering me all week because I've been watching Guiding Light all week, and Guiding Light has had an incredible week this week. I actually thought this going down to Universal would be kind of corny, and it wound up being so great because you got to see the cast outside of the studio. They I don't know if
what
you know
the Universal?
Universal Studios. They went they like in the real life. Park? Yeah, they in real life they went to the theme park like about 2 months ago to film stuff down there. And the way they wrote it and incorporated it into the show, it made all the sense for like most of the town to go down there. But it was just fun because the thing about that's been so great about Guiding Light this week is that it's all been about relationships. It's been about these characters interacting. About, I mean, I got to see the original bromance, Philip and Rick, as Rick and Philip were playing basketball, and Rick helped Philip get out of the insane asylum that his father locked him in. I mean, we got to see James Spalding, who, my God, this boy is so hot.
I know, I was talking about him.
Let me tell you something. He is the biggest find. Like, I know that if Guiding Light doesn't make it, some soap will have to be stupid if they don't cash in and get this kid. He is definitely like soap leading man in training. I mean, he's gorgeous and he can act. Mm-hmm. And to see him and Philip bonding and then just to see them all having
father?
Fun. Yeah, Philip is his father and they have a very strained relationship because Philip's been off the show for 5 years. And it just everything about Guiding Light this week, it was so brilliant. And all I kept thinking about was like, it's gone. It's gone in September. I'm not going to see the Lewises. I'm not going to see the Spaldings. I'm not going to get the chance to see Beth and Philip get back together. And Beth and Philip had such great scenes this week. And it just, I mean, you know, Ellen Wheeler got a lot of flack, but people don't realize is that she did a decent job as an executive producer. She came onto the show. She
made one mistake.
She made one mistake in the early 2007 because she was desperate to try to keep the show on the air. And she thought that it was the best thing. By making giving it a more reality feel. That was her only mistake. Everything else, people forget that when she came on, Guiding Light had a couple of actors that were pretty boys. She got rid of them and she brought real actors like Tom Pelfrey and John Ziskrull. Yeah, she brought legacy characters. She brought so much heart back in the show. She gave Kim Zimmer real storylines instead of this freaking clone stuff and stuff. So you can't knock her for the one mistake she did, because you know what the bottom line was? I don't think that even if she hadn't done that, the show's fate was numbered. You know, CBS...
It didn't support.
Yeah, CBS doesn't support it. CBS didn't support it. I mean, look at the fact that they only gave As the World Turns a year, and they put As the World Turns on notice.
But you know, don't you... I don't even watch this show, and I woke up this morning wondering how they're going to end it. And I just feel like in my bones that they're going to do a beautiful job.
Well, I think that they're geared towards that.
Like, I think everybody is pulling together. I think this is a unified cast and production team. Well, I think they're going to pull it out.
The good thing is that they're bringing back a lot of past characters, some of them being played by the original actors like Danny and Michelle. Well, the last Michelle.
I love when they do that.
The last Michelle, not the best Michelle, but
not
the last Michelle.
Rebecca Buttig,
she wasn't my favorite Michelle. I hated Rebecca Buttig as Michelle. I like Rebecca Buttig as Greenlee, but she was not Michelle. My favorite Michelle was Bethany Joy Lenz Galotti, who's on One Tree Hill. Love her. Anyway, they're bringing back, well, you know, your girl, Beth Ann Bonner, is joining Guiding Light.
I'm happy about that for her.
And everybody thought she was going to be playing Michelle because they were supposedly trying to cast for a new Michelle. But I think that she's going to wind up being Reva and Josh's
this is not
daughter.
A spoiler, right?
No, I don't know for sure. I'm just saying that I think it was going to be
but
Reva.
How do you know she's not playing Michelle Bauer?
Oh, because they announced that Nancy St. Alban, the boring Michelle, the last Michelle, she's coming back. Because she was, for some reason, she was popular. I never liked her. Right. But I think Beth Ann's going to be playing Mara Shane.
Beth Ann Bonner, as you all know, want to be a soap star. She won that. Well, she actually didn't win that. She came in third.
But she's the one who got a contract and like lasted the longest.
The guy that won it went on to One Life to Live and could not read a frigging, he could not read off of a frigging
cue card.
He could not read.
He was really bad. He was
so
really
awful.
But you know why he won? Because he was good looking.
Julie Madison loved him.
Because he was good looking.
Because
he was cute. But see, this is what's wrong with soaps and casting.
I'm surprised at her. She's better than that normally.
You should be. Look at the first winner. Look at the first winner. Wasn't the first winner somebody that Judy Blight Wilson? I know. But Judy Blight Wilson wanted to bang him. That's why she cast him.
Well, anyway, she went on. So Beth Ann Bonner was third and went on to be on One Life to Live as a decent character. She's a good little actress. So she got fired recently, let go from the show. So I'm happy for her that she'll spend a few months on Guiding
Light. Well, I never look at it as fire. I look at it as, you know what? The characters come to a point where to progression. What, you know, it was working against her. I don't like to look at it as, like, maybe, you know, it wasn't like know. It wasn't like she, they hated her and they wanted her gone. No,
that's,
you know,
true. That's true. But how do but you, her cat. But how can you explain Marcy and Michael?
Well, see, I think my feeling about Marcy Michael is that's Brian Franz.
Because he is against fat people.
Yeah, he's
against old people and fat people.
I think because...
And I don't mean to say fat. I mean pleasantly plump.
And I'm going
to
say this. I'm going
to... You know, yeah. I don't mean fat like to be mean. I mean like...
She's voluptuous. She's voluptuous. Big boned.
Yes. and I love that Michael. I'm sorry. I love him. I do.
Well,
he's realistic. He's warm. I believe that he is John McBain's brother. He's not crazy like yeah. the other one. The other
well,
one's crazy.
I feel like, you know what it is too with that situation? It's just like, I always hate when writers say, oh, there's no more storyline for them, because that's a cop out. That means that as a writer, you don't have any imagination. You know what?
Right.
I mean, I think sometimes you come to a pass where advancing the storyline means letting go of a character sometimes. That I believe
in. But I also believe, too, that they're like, trying to be nice.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
They don't really want to write. They're not interested in pursuing this character or the story.
Yeah, but to say that there's no more storyline for them, no. See, like, Talia, there was a progression. There was a reason, like, her death mattered. You know what I mean? Like, in the grand scale. Like, Michael and Marcy leaving town.
You really thought so?
Well, yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. But, I don't. Well, because Antonia wasn't there no
I
more.
They had a serial killer anyway. They were going to get rid of her. So they made the serial killer kill her.
Yeah, but Antonia was gone. She had no more storyline.
I hear you, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. It was like
I just copped out. Yeah. No, I don't know. I just think that Talia's departure is a little bit different than Michael and Marcy. That's all. Okay. I think it's messed up that Michael and Marcy are going, but whatever. Okay. I think it's really messed up that Roy and Lola are going. Now that they're heating up.
Ray.
I'm sorry. Why did I call him Roy? Oh, you know why? Because he played Roy on General Hospital.
Oh, all right.
Damn, right, my God. Right. He played Roy on General Hospital and Ray on One Life to Live. Mm-hmm. And his name is A.
What was he on Santa Barbara?
Cruz.
That's right.
He can only do 1 to 4 letter names.
He was so hot on Santa Barbara.
Oh my God! You know who is his love partner on
yes,
Santa Barbara?
Eden
Eden Capo, played by our Marcy Walker, the real Liza Kobe,
who was never more beautiful than she was.
Oh
on
my
Santa
God!
Barbara.
Yes,
they
yes.
made her so beautiful on Santa
and
Barbara,
and they used to have the only sex scenes. Oh my God!
One true love. One
I
true
loved
love.
Cruz and Eden.
They were true love.
Cruz and Eden, Santa Barbara.
Do we need to talk about Wiza?
Who's that?
Who termed her? I love that term. One of our bloggers used the word Wiza. W-H-Y-Z.
Yeah, I can't do any former Liza. She's either the former Railroad Play star Jamie Luna or my favorite, J-Lu. I keep saying Ja-Lu because of Ja Rule, but it would be Jay because she's Jamie. So yeah. J-Lu. That's her new name now, J-Lu.
Well, she was on very blissfully briefly this week, was she not?
It wasn't brief enough as far as I'm concerned. It was episode and 10 seconds too long as far as
is
I'm concerned.
Is anybody with me on Jamie Luner's acting style? I haven't heard any commentary on this.
What do you mean?
She is so diva-ish in her acting style.
Because that's the way she interprets her character.
But is that how she? That's how she plays every character, isn't it? I mean,
well,
right?
She's only played like soap vixens.
But that's my point.
Savannah, Melrose Place, Just the Ten of Us was a comedy when she was a teen.
But everything's like, you know, so mysterious and very, very sort of Betty Davis, I would say. Do you know what I mean?
You do a good voice of her already.
Do you know
I gotta
what
tell
I mean?
You though. I tell you, you do a good voice of her. I forgot to tell you that last week because when you did, when you were doing her at
the View.
Yeah, you saw because I heard the pod when I heard the podcast. I was like, gosh, she did sound like Jamie Luner.
It just annoys the crap out of me.
Look, I don't buy her.
Literally, I hear her and I have to go to the bathroom.
I don't buy her. I don't buy the character. Don't.
It's true.
I don't buy her. I don't buy the character. I'm going to say it again and again and again.
All right, fine. Are you eating?
Yes.
He is eating.
Oh, no, that's not mine.
I'm saving my lunch.
Oh, you want to? I'm sorry. That's yours.
Well, I guess we could talk about Zach and Kendall as it pertains to Brees, Bianca, and Reese. Well, he's shaking his head already with chunks of cream cheese in his mouth. All right, fine. I'm going to talk about him. We had the whole last week. Didn't we know last week? It was Binks coming. We knew that.
Yeah, that's where it ended.
So Kendall followed Zach to the airport, and she sees Bianca, and Zach sees her there, and Zach gets Binks to come back to the house and talk to Kendall. So Zach goes to get Reese, who's in the same damn, because wasn't Reese going to Paris?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, either Erica now is her best friend and Erica convinced her to go, or Zach convinced her to go. Something, right? Something happened. No, it wasn't Zach. It was Erica.
Yeah.
Reese was in that same damn brown sweater.
Mm-hmm.
I would wish Julie Haddon Crap Brothers would have talked about that in the Nightline interview with soap opera, you know, economy hitting the soap operas bad. Giving her the same damn sweater every day. That brown muffle. Okay, so what do we think about this, Jordan? That's the thing. We had some beautiful scenes where Bianca finally apologized to Kendall, but it's sort of like, feels like too little too late for me from this writer. You know what I mean? Bianca, Eden Regal, I love you and adore you. You did a beautiful job with all your scenes, and so did you, Tamra. They did beautiful work, but I mean, the content was not there. And some of, I think it was some of our bloggers noted that they didn't even kiss. They didn't embrace. They barely embraced. They cried a little bit, but they didn't even have a kiss. It was like Julie Haddon Crap Brothers said, "You got okay. You got Eden for 3 days. So go for it. You know, make it work."
All right. What? You really want to know what I think?
Yes.
I think it was a piece of shit.
Ah!
I think that the way they treated Egan and Tamra, or Tamara, whatever Eden. She calls herself. I said Eden.
You said Egan.
Egan.
Because you were Eden.
I think it was disgusting. I think that if there was any, like anything positive about it, it was because these two actresses are so professional.
So professional.
That they would never do what Rebecca Budig did and just, like,
tune out.
Yeah. They played it in. They played it to the hilt, considering that there was nothing in the dialogue.
Nothing to play.
Those Reese's explanation was so weak. And the fact that it was so simple that in one day she comes back, forgives her, and says, "All right, let's go back and move to France." That was stupid. That was stupid. You know, it was like watching an episode of like Seventh Heaven where everything had to ties up at the end of the hour. You know what I mean?
And Michelle Patrick, you were the writer that day. I'm sorry, I got a quarter on it. It wasn't good. Wasn't that good?
No, I was disappointed. I mean, no kiss, no lovemaking, no nothing.
Weird. A meeting in the park and a meeting at home, and then they decide to go home to France together. Weird.
But like, where does she forgive her? Like, what? You know, there was so many holes in that, like, goodbye. It was, I don't know.
And there was other holes, too, because, like, wasn't there one point where all of a sudden Kendall's, like, now believes that Reese loves Bianca? Like, everybody now agrees Reese loves Bianca.
Well, how could Bianca forgive Zach? For what he did and his part in all this. That's the whole thing. There's so many things that went down that really don't ring true.
Because of what Bianca did. That's the problem I'm having with this whole thing. She knows as an actress, she's such a smart, beautiful actress. She knows that she can never go back from that. That decision was the craziest, most un-Bianca decision that's ever been made.
I agree with you. I mean, I just thought, you know what? It was a sad, pathetic ending to a sad, pathetic storyline.
Well, I did like, okay, so then Michelle Patrick, the woman who wrote this particular episode, when she had Erica say, you know, just forgive and forget. And Bianca says, did you just say forgive and forget? Who are you and what have you done with my mother? Which was good, because it's true. Like, I'm asking you, I'm begging for an explanation of the storyline.
Well, I can't tell you. I don't speak stupid like Chuck Pratt does. I don't. That's not in my language. Oh, I follow through on stuff. I need like to explain stuff. I need character depth and stuff. I can't. His choices and why he does the things he does makes no sense to me. And you know, again, the only thing I can tell you is that if I remotely enjoyed anything from those 2 days, it was just because these two actresses were playing it to the hilt, no matter what garbage. Because a lot of it was verbal diarrhea, basically. I mean, none of the stuff that Reese was saying, I'm like sitting there watching and listening. I'm like, I'm like, how is this making any sense?
And how is it any different from anything that she said
before when she left?
Right. Thank
I mean, it's
you.
The same garbage. It's the same thing. The thing is that Zach made out with her and you forgave Zach, but you don't forgive her. I mean, the fact that everybody's still forgiving of Zach.
I got nothing else to say about that particular storyline, except that they leave together. That's it. They leave. It's like, done. Do, you know, stick a fork in it.
And they're the lucky ones.
They are.
Because they're leaving us behind.
They get to go. That's
they
right.
get to go, and we're stuck in Pine Valley.
Who do we talk about next?
No, I gotta say, I'm really sad by that. I'm really sad.
Too. We were hoping.
Because when they came on, I was hoping for the best.
Should we be fair here?
About what?
We at least got them back together, right? We got them trying to live a life that they should have been able to live without all the brouhaha that Chuck Pratt's evil pen inflicted on them.
No, I wanted more. I'm sorry. Right. I wanted to see them get remarried in a real ceremony that wasn't intercut with Greenlee thinking she's Batgirl going over a cliff on her Batgirl cycle and Annie breaking out of a prison. I would like to see that groundbreaking love story wedding that I was promised. That's what I want.
I know exactly what you want.
What?
You want the Satin Slayer to come back and you want that mystery resolved. That's exactly what you want. Isn't it? That will solve everything. Alexander Cambius Sr., he's ratings gold. How stupid are we? Are we that freaking stupid?
Look.
Do I got stupid stamped on my forehead?
That bug-eyed old man driving me crazy.
I am a genius. I am the most cunning criminal mind since Jack the Ripper. I mean, he's so...
What was that for the Buzz Bunny cartoon? He was a super genius.
Yeah! That's exactly him! That's exactly him!
He's super genius!
That's exactly him!
Wait, but may I ask you something?
What?
Why was he like... I know he's a Satin Slayer and he killed like a couple of girls.
Yes.
But why was he like wrapped up like Hannibal Lecter?
I really don't know.
He didn't eat them.
Yeah, but listen.
It was so stupid.
He's paralyzed from the neck down.
Is he really?
Yes, he is.
So then why is he wrapped up?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Storyline's so stupid.
And he just sits there bug-eyed, musing over his... You know, devil trees. It's so ridiculous.
And was that my imagination? Didn't he have like postings on the wall about his Satin Slayer?
How did they get up there? How did he put up there?
Why would they let him?
I mean, how?
Why would they let him have clippings of his murders and
Thank
stuff up there?
You.
Like if that's a tribute, like, you know what I mean?
I don't know, like if
he was Susan Lucci and that was the dressing room with her one Emmy and like all her photo shoot pictures.
Ridiculous.
It was stupid.
But why? I feel calmer than I was for last week's podcast. Only because I feel as if I've been beaten into submission. I feel weak. I do. I feel like at this point you just gotta submit to the stupidity of it, or else you would, you know, raise your blood pressure up a couple points. I can't do that. So
look,
what?
It was dumb. I mean, basically,
why does he have to come back? Why?
This thing happened like two and a half years ago,
this
right?
Is Chuck Pratt's May sweeps.
But look, but answer me this.
This is why McTavish, excuse me, got fired. She got fired over the Satin Slayer. Why the F would you bring it back? Why?
Oh, well, there goes that.
I didn't warn you people, sorry.
Woo, 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 screaming alert.
Yes.
Look,
what?
I'm going to say this about this. Now, everybody knows that a real true megalomaniac serial killer... Yes. Would have mentioned from the get-go that he didn't do it.
Hannibal Lecter was that way.
Anybody
he
that
never
knows
claimed
the men
he didn't do.
Yeah, because it's an ego thing with them. These serial killers, they have to be in power and control. They would never. The minute he was busted, he would have admitted to the fact that he didn't do that because he would not take credit for something that he didn't do.
They also get weird about like methods and techniques,
yes,
and stuff.
Exactly.
Like, so if the technique didn't match his exactly, he would not take claim.
Don't
of it.
Ask me how I know so much. I used to watch. I used to watch Millennium on Fox. Have you ever seen Millennium on Fox?
No.
The spinoff of X-Files.
No.
Yes, it was about like serial killers and crazy people like that. So look, that right there doesn't ring true. The fact that this is being brought up, like, all of a sudden annoys me. The one thing that I will give them props for is realizing that whoever did do it was meaning to kill Babe. I thought they were going to be so stupid that they were going to just say, oh, she killed Dick. I didn't think they were going to realize
those
pancakes.
You give them props for that?
Look, I'm trying to be positive.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's claiming that we're very negative on the show. So every time I could find a positive, because I actually thought that these idiots were going to be so... Not knowing the history of the show, that they were going to actually make it about Dixie. So the fact that they're acknowledging that whoever did it had to have been after Babe I was like, okay.
Well, we started the week with this particular storyline with all of the foreshadowing that our precious Jill Larson had to do as Opal. Opal sees a bloody hand. She sees Annie as the bloody hand. She's all freaking out. That was the beginning of the week. And then she goes to see Tad because she's all freaked out about it. She sees Petey, who Petey tells her to think positively. Petey's such a joke. I'm so sick of Petey. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's you went from being something like a breath of fresh air to a stereotype.
Just a cartoon one-dimensional character.
Cartoon character. Sorry. Like sorry, Danny Kennedy.
I'm sorry, Danny.
It's not your fault. It's in the writing.
All right, fine. I'll move on. I will move on. Why am I asked to believe that this bug-eyed doofus is so dangerous and scary and everyone's quaking in their boots around him? Why?
Because he's paralyzed and wrapped up.
Ah! He's stupid. He's not scary. He's doing a terrible job acting. Terrible. I'm sorry. Terrible.
They can't get it right. Either they underact or they overact.
Ugh, it's so painful to watch.
He overacts.
He is. So then, look, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Like, all right, Ryaz goes and he realizes, because he goes to see, this is where we find out all this stuff about, you know, the Sansayer claims he didn't kill Dixie and that he was, you know, the most cunning criminal mind since Jack the Ripper and all that crap.
Super genius.
So then, Ryaz goes and he shares the dumbass letter and the manuscript with Tad. And of course, Tad gets all freaked out because Tad believes that maybe this is true and that someone else...
Well, not at first. Tad gave him a little bit of a push at first, yeah. But then Tad got swept into it.
Yeah, he did. And then that's when Opal sees Tad's bloody head. He's all bloody. Danger's a-coming. Danger's a-coming.
I was in a room with people when that scene came up. And everybody busted out laughing.
Where were you watching? At the Sears store?
No, I'm not going to say where I was. All I know is that I was in a room with a bunch of people. And the reaction was laughter. Not anything like, ooh, gripping. What's that about? No, it was like, wah! And I don't think that was the desired effect that they wanted, so.
Well, then, all right, then we got all this stuff like... All right, I'm mixing up order a little bit because I think Ryaz went to see Alexander Kamis after he talked to Tad, after he got the letter. Because he read, what he basically did was read the letter while Alexander Kamis sat bug-eyed in prison.
Oh, wait. That's another thing that bothered me.
What?
Adam was talking to the three kids. Yeah. Scott, Jet Behind the Eyes, Kobe, yes. Turby, and JR.
Yes.
And the doorbell rang. And, like, before the doorbell even stopped ringing, the maid came in and said, there's somebody here to see you.
Did you notice she was Latina?
Yes, I knew. I guess Carmen left a lasting effect on him. Yeah, he was like, so. He goes, once you go Latin, you don't go back, girl.
That's right.
He wants a Latin maid.
Let me tell you, they know how to clean a sink. We do.
I cannot believe you said that.
Yeah, we do. We know how to clean a sink. What's the problem? That's a good thing. Anyway, all right, so listen. Then we get foreshadowing from Mr. Alexander Kamis, who's playing now. He's playing Hannibal Lecter, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, counseling, what's her name? What's the woman's name? Oh, why do I keep forgetting her name?
Who?
The character's name, Jolie or Joe.
I must have fell asleep. What are you talking
Hannibal
about?
The Hannibal Lecter movie.
Oh, I didn't see those movies. I don't
know. Did you watch when Jodie Foster played?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh my God, you didn't watch it?
No. I've never seen it. I want to see it. It's
a great movie.
It's on my to-do list.
It was scary as anything.
It's on my to-do list.
Anyway, this Alexander Kamis Sr. says, on who would they blame the next corpse? Dixie Martin's real killer. I can't even do him. He's so doofusy. What if I did him like this? Dixie Martin's real killer will strike again. If I did him like that.
But look, why would Dixie Martin's real killer wait almost 2 years to strike again? This is the beginning of a stupid storyline that's going to take the life of one of our favorite characters.
I don't know. Then what happened on... So then we had on Thursday's episode, what do we have on Thursday?
Well, Tad talked to Adam.
Yes.
They wanted to keep it a secret because they didn't want JR going off the rails. That's the way they put it.
Yes.
And JR found out anyway because in typical All My Children fashion, he walked in and said, "What do you mean? What do you want? What do you don't want keeping from me?" Or something like that, or some stupid like thing. What are you keeping from me? Or what I think Tass is like, JR is not supposed to know. And he goes, What is it I'm not supposed to know? Something stupid like that. So they tell JR, and of course JR at first is like, whatever. And then Tad makes it seem like whatever too. But then Tad decides that he's gonna go all like police chief about it.
Yep.
And he gets like this big bulletin board, and it looks like something right out of The Close on TNT.
My favorite part of that bulletin board was the Zoe/Zarf. I thought it was particularly mean. After Zarf decided that he was Zoe, to still refer to Zoe as Zoe/Zarf.
Because by now he's Zoe.
Yeah.
I would think by now he cut it off.
That's what I'm saying. That's
ooh, that hurts.
I thought it was rude. I thought it was very rude. Mm. So then we have Jesse in on it.
Poor Darnell.
Poor Darnell.
They just keep giving him crappy storyline after crappy storyline. Yes.
And then what happened on Friday? JR goes to see Adam because that's what happened.
Yeah, JR went to see Adam.
Tad interviewed Stuart.
Yes, Tad interviewed Stuart, and David Canary was amazing as Stuart. Him. Oh my God, what are we going to do without Stuart?
Oh, let's not talk about it, please. It's too soon.
I can't. That was what was breaking my heart this week.
Yeah.
Knowing what Stuart's fate was, and because we haven't seen Stuart in so long.
Nope.
We've only seen him like maybe for like 5 seconds painting a moon, and at Jesse and Angie's wedding.
I know. So what was the whole thing about Stuart? He saw Adam with the
satin. Yeah, they were asking him. Well, first they were asking Stuart if he remembered anything about that day, about like blah blah blah, and then Stuart inadvertently mentioned that he did see Adam touching the bowl that was out. And then, you know, they insinuated that they think Adam might have had something to do with it. So, of course, Stuart being Stuart freaked out and, like, was like, no, that's a horrible day. And we should just forget about it, and we're going to be brother. Yeah, and he stormed out. But then, you know, Stuart being Stuart was remembering, and he had a flashback about the scene, which, yep. Of course, the scene does leave it to be very suspicious that Adam...
Very suspicious.
You know, very, very suspicious.
And then JR attacks him, and he has a...
JR confronts him and locks him in the studio, and JR thinks that he's faking, so he doesn't really like. And meanwhile, Erica wearing this dress that made her breasts look. What is that?
She farted. Erica farted.
Where did that come from? Is that new?
I was watching with Carlos, and I have to tell you, it's much more entertaining watching All My Children with Carlos, because every time Erica came out in that tight red dress with the black built-in vest, she'd walk in and he'd go. Like she farted. Can you imagine Miss Erica came farting?
Carlos loves flatulence, doesn't he?
He loves flatulence. I told you about the Dutch oven last week.
I know. Everybody was amazed that I didn't know what it was. But I did know Dutch oven from the soup.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we talked about that.
I did know that.
Anyway, so yes, go on.
So, but did not her breasts look amazing in that dress?
Amazing.
She looked like she was taking out her daughter.
She's astounding. I don't care.
Those were some healthy breasts.
I take back every bad word I ever said.
Definitely wanted to go right in there. I was fascinated by her breasts.
Oh my God.
I just could not.
I'm
shocked. Oh, I love breasts.
Oh, I'm shocked.
I even miss doing the down below,
no,
going
you
down
don't.
Under. Yes.
No, you don't.
I was very good at it too.
Oh God, people, this is a PG show.
I have a great tongue.
PG! I'm covering the mic.
I didn't say it'd be bad.
You done?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So wait.
What?
So yeah, so Erica's breasts were looking really good.
All right, fine.
And so she stormed in. JR opens the door. She storms in. JR's like,
seem more suspicious.
What?
That Adam might have done something because he got so rattled when JR accused him.
Yeah, but Adam's also on medication
from David,
that's bad, that's
per
poisoning
Nurse Gale.
Him.
Kill Nurse Gale! Kill that biatch!
I hate Nurse Gale!
Hater!
Nurse Gale, I spit in your grave!
Stupid!
She's horrible.
I Dutch oven you, Nurse Gale!
I don't like Nurse Gale. Nice. Nurse Gale's annoying. You know what I was thinking?
What?
Maybe we would have liked Nurse Gale if they would have made her a character instead of a caricature. And what I mean by that,
yes.
if we would have seen how David convinced her or propositioned her to be like his minion. You know what I mean?
So, see, he's so brilliant. If why the hell are you not buying the show?
If we were to get to see like who Nurse Gale is, a person, maybe we found out that she needed money because like her grandmother or her mother is dying of cancer.
Why are you not writing the show? Because
right now all she is one dimensional.
Why are you not writing the show?
She's like Dast, like what you used to call what's his name, Ray Gardner's brother.
Yeah.
That's what she is. Yeah. She's annoying me.
Ugh, why is he not?
I can't stand Nurse Gale. I know y'all are like, why do they harp on that Nurse Gale? I just can't stand her.
You know what I love though? My favorite two things this week that I thoroughly enjoyed that you did not was the second vision or the third vision that Opal had of Adam coming down the hall with his chest bleeding.
But it wasn't Adam.
Oh, Stuart.
Yeah, she didn't recognize him, but I could. Oh. That was Stuart. That wasn't Adam. She wasn't looking.
How could you tell by the
hair?
The collar?
No, the hair.
He had one collar tucked in, one
tucked
out? No. He had a bright orange plaid sweater on?
Adam has his hair kind of like pushed back. Stuart always has it wild.
Yeah, but if you get murdered, your hair could be wild.
No, this is a soap opera.
Well, listen.
Look at One Life to Live.
Opal had just been in the hospital for having
heart. You're not asking me what about One Life to Live?
I'm not.
Fine.
We'll cover it later. We got to finish this crap. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be so negative. We have to finish this particular storyline. How's that? Listen, when Opal just had gotten done seeing Angie for heart palpitations, she goes, she sees this vision. She tells Angie all about her visions. She sees this new vision, and she starts to have a cardiac arrest in the hospital. Did you notice what all those background nurses and doctors were doing?
Walking by.
Typing away. No big deal. By.
So what? They were just like, oh, there goes Dark Lady again. There goes that Dark Lady having another vision. Oh Lord.
And then Angie comes over, and Angie seems somewhat concerned. And then Opal says, I gotta go.
No.
Dangers are
no,
coming.
But it was funny because Angie's like trying to talk to her and she's mumbling, and Angie's like, but we'll take it. And she's like, no, I gotta go. And she just walked away, and Debbie Morgan's just like, I gotta tell you.
She's like, okay. And then her phone's ringing. She's like, hey, what's up?
I know. Those two deserve an award. Both of them, both Debbie Morgan and Jill Larson, deserve an award for being given some of the worst material to play.
We need to come up with a name for that award.
You guys have to help us out. We gotta come up with a name for this award for when, as an actor, not even turning shit into gold. This goes beyond shit into gold.
I know, I was
going
to say shit to Shinola.
This goes beyond that. This goes really beyond does. That. I mean the stuff
you
that they gave them on Friday.
You have to dig so deep to the very bowels of your soul.
Because this is what we disagree on. I was cringing watching Jill Larson have to play this. I thought it was horribly written, over the top. The same thing with Debbie Morgan's stuff later on in the episode.
Enough with the visions, people.
We get it. She's clairvoyant. God. She thinks she's Patricia Arquette on NBC. We get it.
It's weak writing. If you have to broadcast everything like that, you can't write. You don't got.
I mean, because by now it's like, because then go on. Tell them where Opal went after.
I fell asleep. Where'd she go?
She went to go visit Crystal.
She did.
And that made no sense to me because, first of all, her and Crystal have been at Wildwin.
No, I thought that was when David was getting a massage from Mirabella.
Oh, you mean incest the whole game, the whole family can play? That was so icky. I'm sorry. I know that he doesn't know that's his daughter, but we do. And that was very uncomfortable to watch. I didn't like that at all. I didn't like that they were playing it. I didn't like.
When did Opal see Crystal?
Opal saw Crystal in the same episode later on. Because she tried to introduce her to Mirabella, and Opal was extremely rude.
But where?
At Wildwin. Opal went to Wildwin. Were you asleep again?
I had to be asleep.
Look, Opal went to Wildwin. First of all, Opal and Crystal have not been, like, on the best of terms.
I don't think you're right about that. Because Friday's episode was all about Mirabella massaging David.
Did you not just see the episode recently?
Yes, I did.
This wasn't an episode that was 5 weeks ago.
I know.
You're wrong.
All right, fine. I've been wrong before, so I'll take being wrong on this one. What?
You are crazy. How do you not remember the scene?
I don't remember.
All right. I know why.
He knows why.
I know why she can't remember. But anyway, look, the thing was, she goes to visit Crystal. Her and Crystal have been on the outs for, like, because of everything that's been going on.
Yes.
So it's not like they're best friends. Yes. And yet Crystal introduces her to Mirabella as my friend Opal, whatever. Mm. And then Opal's extremely rude to Mirabella. She goes, we'll meet another time and have a last long chat. And then She starts telling Crystal about her vision. Crystal, who the last time you had visions was about her daughter dying. And the way Crystal reacted was like she was getting a news report.
You've got a point.
It was just it was the most horrible scene. It made no sense for these characters to meet up. It was very insensitive of Opal to go to Crystal to tell her about visions.
Yeah.
Because the last time you had visions, it was about her daughter dying.
Yeah.
And then Crystal's reaction to it was bizarre too. Because it's like, why are you all humoring her? I mean, I don't know. It just was a very awkward, stupid scene.
Awkward and dumb. The whole just storyline oh god, is so dumb. Do we talk about Mirabella? Do I have to?
I like Mirabella. I like Mirabella because it seems like Mirabella's going to have a little more edge than Babe. Mirabella doesn't seem like she's the good saintly girl.
I just have a problem with it, Jordan.
With
I
what?
Do. I do.
Because with the fact that she's the eBay baby?
Yes.
Hello, eBay!
Oh my God. She's the eBay baby.
How much does a little white baby eBay girl go for nowadays?
But here's my question for again. This freaking idiot, and I hate him so much. I hate him more than I hate Osama bin Laden, I swear to God.
Who?
Chuck Pratt!
Okay.
Alright, maybe not more than Osama bin Laden, but I hate him almost as bad as Osama bin Laden. Why is he going back on stories that we don't give a crap about? Why would he dig back to Babe Land? Babe is dead and gone. I don't give a crap about her anymore. I never really did. She was fine and fun and pretty. I liked her. Had no problem with her being on the show. I even liked the Baby Switch storyline. I thought it had some compelling moments. But I'm done. Are you done with her? I'm done with her. Why do we have to go back to more children that Crystal birthed and all this dumb, stupid crap? I don't get it. It's exhausting.
You're crazy.
I feel crazy today.
Look, they needed to bring on another young ingenue. At least she's connected to the family.
Why?
Look, all I can tell you is that I think Mirabella can act. I actually like her. I like the fact that the character has a little edge to it because she seems like she is more like David than Crystal or Babe.
Yeah, she got seems on like top of her best friend's man.
She seems like she's got a wicked side. She's money hungry, so she'll go good with
she
JR.
She straddled his ass. She sat on him.
Well, why do you think I was disgusted with it? It was disgusting. Icky. It was icky for them to go down that
route. Well, you know what happened? Because he kind of called her on her BS about being a bartender.
Well, he didn't call her. He believed her, and he wanted a drink, and she couldn't make a drink because she's not a bartender.
So she goes,
I have a better way for you to release all that tension.
Well, she's now... Yeah, exactly.
It was such ickiness.
Happy ending.
Oh, gross. When they started going there, I was like, they're not going to go down that route, are they? And of course they did.
Well, because viewers left out the very small detail that at the beginning of the week, she asked David if she could actually live with them as he had suggested.
Yes.
And then he warned her not to extort money from Crystal, which I liked.
Yeah.
I liked that. I mean, did the week with her straddling him. And then Crystal kind of took her to task on that. We know why.
Yeah.
Because
that's your father.
It's your father.
It's like that episode. Not that episode. It's like that scene from Chinatown.
Oh, yes!
Go ahead, do it. Go ahead, do it.
I'm your mother. I'm your sister. I'm your mother. I'm your sister. I'm your mother. I'm your mother and your sister!
It was such a stupid thing. I don't know. All I know is that, like I said, I like the actress playing Mirabella. I like the fact that Mirabella's
Faye Dunaway is the bomb, though.
What?
Faye Dunaway?
Don't get me started on Faye Dunaway.
She's so incredible.
I miss Faye Dunaway.
She only
did
went
you
a
see
little,
her on Grey's Anatomy?
She only went a little cuckoo recently. Do you remember when she did that reality show about being a movie star?
What reality show?
She did a reality show where people were competing to like be a TV or a movie star.
Oh, that CW thing, right?
Yes, and I felt so bad because she was like so out of it. She was like a diva at that point. She was like taking herself so seriously with these people that were clearly not serious actors.
Uh-huh.
And she was like giving them such serious advice and just being her diva self. Oh, it was cringe-inducing.
Really? See, I didn't watch that. That looked horrible. But she was great on Grey's Anatomy this year. She had a guest spot on Grey's Anatomy. And I'm like, why don't they let the older people work? I so prefer watching the older people. She Absolutely. Was amazing in that episode.
Absolutely.
I was like, her character should have been a regular from the beginning.
All right, we only got a few more minutes. I only got a few more minutes of All My Children Left in Me. I swear to God. I swear to God. We can talk about Zach and Kendall and Ryass.
What's there to really say that we haven't said? The whole set. We talked about them already.
Well, you know what else Julie Hannah Crapmother should have talked about? What? That, you know, soaps are, you know, being hit hard by the economy interview.
What?
The fact that Kendall Hartslater wears the same leggings every single day. She wears those black leggings every day. And she's too skinny for them. And now she's trying to be all in love with Ryan. People, is it just me? Is it just me? You gotta answer me.
What?
I'm disgusted by Ryan and Kendall. There was a time where I thought I would be so elated for them to be together with their chemistry, but they got no chemistry now.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because Greenlee just died and they're hooking up. That's why. That's why we can't get into it.
She's so pretending.
If this was a year from now, then maybe. If you would have wrote a really good storyline about two people grieving and in time coming together.
Yes. Give them a year.
Yeah.
Seriously, a year.
Rediscovering each other. Rediscovering their love for each other. Not, oh, my fiancé died. Let me trip into your vagina. That stupid shit.
And we keep getting the same stupid back and forth between Zach and Kendall about how they hurt each other and blah, blah, blah. Did you read in Soap Opera Digest the Thurston Kay and Alicia Minshew interview?
Yeah, it was stupid.
I didn't think it was stupid. I thought it was excellent. You really thought it was stupid?
Well, I mean, what they said was, well, Thorsten sounded stupid. She sounded nice.
I don't agree. You got such a thing against my man, Thorsten.
Who?
You.
Squid hair? That's my name for him. When he's been on One Night to Live, squid hair. His hair looked like squid.
A lot of the ladies that wrote in, Tasha, I believe Arizona Gal. I think it was you, Arizona Gal. A bunch of the other ladies wrote in support of moi and the love for Thorsten K. He is delicious. Jealous much?
What? Of that?
I'm going to ask you to take
off. That Willie the Handyman from The Simpsons, please.
I'm going to ask you to take off your negative Thorsten hat for a second. I actually really appreciated that I got very clearly from the article how frustrated they both were about this direction that their characters have taken, this turn that their storyline has taken. Alicia in particular said 7 years. 7 years she's invested in this show and 4 years in this relationship. And she feels like you can't just throw that away. And you know what she's playing? What she said she was playing? She's playing... I spit on you, sorry.
Oh, okay.
She is playing... Because he keeps saying that, you know, she's still in love. She's still in love with Ryan. She's still in love with Ryan. And as an actor, he has to believe that because it's so poorly written that there's nothing else he could believe. But she keeps saying that she said in the article that she disagrees, that she thinks that Zach is her true love and that she's only with Ryan because she's so hurt and devastated by the breakup. You're not even...
Whatever gets you through the day, that's all I can say.
I just thought it was a really... I really respect
it. It was a great article. I respected it. But the bottom line is they don't have no control. They have no control.
They are very thoughtful about the things that they do every day. They care about their work.
But you know what?
They got shit on.
All right. And I'm going to tell you one more time. They have no control. The only person that has control is the executive producer and our head writer, and that's why we need to speak up and not stay quiet. We need to petition. We need to go down to the studio one day next month, one day this month, and we need to boycott the show. We need to stop watching for like a day and see the ratings go down. And we have to do something extreme to get our point across.
This will be a good time to mention my preliminary discussions I've been having with our astute and talented Louis 2K.
Yes.
Have I mentioned to you? Louis 2K, it's not up yet, people, so don't go checking it out and expecting to see stuff. But
super genius.
He is a super genius. He is amazing. He does all of our intros, as you know. He is so handy with, like, the website and stuff like that. He's amazing. He reserved firepratt.com. www.firepratt.com. I checked it recently. There's nothing up there, so don't go looking. But what I think we've decided that we want to try to do. You tell me what you think, Jordan Hudson. We want to start an email campaign, much like Susan and Elise and Tad and Dixie, the Tad and Dixie people. Susan and Elise have been great cheerleaders for this effort of emailing all of the head honchos at ABC to get them to hear us. Now, here's the difference. I think, and this is all inspired by you people, because I know like Shadow and a bunch of other people have the Fire Pratt picture. They have a picture of Pratt crossed out with Fire Pratt on the bottom. This is all inspired by you people. This is nothing clever on my part. But I do think it would be really effective if we got all of our community. We went over into all the communities that you talk to, any blog site that you're on, and tell them to go to fireprat.com. There'll be information on Fireprat on all of the head honchos that you can email. And all you're going to do, in my opinion, is write in the subject line in all capital letters with exclamation points, Fireprat. And then in the subject line, all you're going to write is Fireprat, ! That's it. Just send the message every day. If we could get like 100 emails to these executives that just says Fireprat, you know how far that would go? Seriously. You don't have to write a treatise. You don't have to write why he's bad. We'll give you the reasons on the website. We figured, Louis and I figured we could come up, and you could come up with some good reasons about why, how Pratt has decimated our show. But maybe that would be a good thing to do.
You mean the Minister of Misogyny?
Oh, the girls.
The women from Pratt Falls. You know what I think ABC.
I want to get them to do Fire Pratt.
I think ABC should hire them to write for Better Off Ted. They'd be great, right? Because they're so witty.
Zingy.
Because I don't know if you ever saw Better Off Ted. Better Off Ted's so great.
Everyone's saying that.
Brilliant writing.
So what do you think about that idea?
Yeah, I like it. I am very passionate about getting Chuck Pratt off that show. If I had my way, Lorraine Broderick would be back as head writer of All My Children.
Maybe that's what we could do. Recommend Lorraine Broderick, too. Anyway, if you people got any ideas, please email them to me, pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, about other ways that we can enhance the Fire Pratt page. But I think it's a great idea for the campaign. I think it's great if we're going to put up little clips of like the links to the Pratt Falls girls and links to other articles in which Pratt has just been an a-hole. So I think we should start it. I think it'd be good.
I agree. Hail. Let's do it.
Hail. Do we really need to talk about two people?
Who?
Scott Chandler and Randy. Dead Behind the Eyes Randy. And Frankie.
They were on this
one? Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. Well, Scott and Randy was last week.
No.
That wasn't this week, was it?
I'm talking about two separate storylines. So we have the Scott Chandler fighting JR. And
that's basically it. What else is there to detail? They've been
really
fighting.
They're fighting at the top. Scott Chandler goes on TV and beats JR to the punch about talking about the heart valve thing. And, you know, Adam's all happy because his little plan to get them firing each other up is working. And, oh, it's so dumb. And then we had Dead Behind the Eyes Randy getting the phone call about Frankie being in an accident in a convoy. What happened? The convoy got blown up or something like that? He's sleeping.
I'm sorry. I dozed off for a minute. Randy.
Can I tell you something? This is Randy when she gets the call. This is Mrs. Hubbard.
Wait, no, that was too much emotion. Okay. Do it again.
This is Mrs. Hubbard.
Still too much emotion. Go ahead.
This is Mrs. Hubbard. What happened to Frankie? Is he okay? And then she walks in. Natalia is like, okay, Natalia's all studying for her police exam. She's got posters up, flashcards,
She didn't have flashcards. What were those?
Those big cue cards.
I was like, are you that stupid, girl?
She was wearing
Is that gonna help you learn it better by having it in big letters?
She was wearing your favorite plaid shirt.
Her Ethel from Connecticut last season of I Love Lucy shirt.
Right. So Randy goes over. There's a knock on the door. Randy and Natalia's practicing or studying, whatever. And Natalia opens the door. And Dead Behind the Eyes Randy is all glistened up. She's doing her best to act stunned. She picks up a picture of her.
Oh, my God. When she picked up the picture and then dropped it.
Purposely drops it.
Because she goes, this is what the director told me to do.
That's right.
I have to drop it now. It was the worst.
This is what it says in the script. I have to drop the picture.
Oh, she's an idiot. Oh my God. She was so bad.
I said, and then poor Miss Angie. And then everybody. Hear me out here. I'm going to say, this is the positive thing I'm going to say. This is why I enjoyed Friday. Because I do like Jesse and Angie's reaction, because this is their son. Hear me out, Bobby. Please hear me out.
I'm staying quiet.
If that was my son and I had word that he was in a convoy blow up, I would be freaking crazy. I would be nuts beyond belief. So I bought for every minute, hook, line, and sinker, how scared Angie and how upset she was. And, you know, Jesse as well was very concerned. I bought it. I just thought it was really embarrassing that Dead Behind the Eyes Randy was so clearly unemotional next to a very emotional mother. I had Angie. What?
I have mixed feelings about it. I told you that when before we even got to this point, I told you about it. For me, it was one of those things where, just like with Jill Larson, I was cringing watching Debbie Morgan have to play this material. I think that she compensated for the fact that it was so lacking in the writing. The writing could have been so much meatier and better for her. And instead, they were writing it as some shrilly. We got to remember who this woman is.
You didn't get the chills when she didn't want them to open the door because she thought it might be the army announcing Frankie's dead. I got the chills.
She was in the room for that.
Yeah, she was.
When Brock
came, knock on the door happened. She goes, "Don't open the door," or something like that.
Yeah, no, it just
gave me the chills. I love her.
That whole thing on Friday was the whole thing on Friday was over the top. It was over the top for me. I couldn't get into it, maybe because of the fact that Natalia was there and Frankie was there, and then Taylor and Brock showed up, and even Miss Beth Ellis was overacting. That whole scene where she started.
I don't agree with you.
I didn't buy it.
Frankie might be dead. I know he's not.
You know what it is? Again, I take it back. It's not. I shouldn't be saying overacting. It's just the dialogue was so bad.
Well, because the dialogue was
cringing. I mean, I just the stuff coming out.
I think it was Michelle Patrick again, people.
Oh God, I couldn't. I didn't feel any of that. That's why Friday's episode was so over the top, horrible for me. I was like, I mean, and then another.
That's how bad the writing is. I'm taking notes every episode of who's writing each episode
on Friday's episode that I thought was stupid.
What?
With everything that's going on between David and Adam, the fact that David's even allowed into Adam's room is stupid. This is why Friday's episode annoyed me, because stupid things like that. I mean, then Kobe brings it up, and then she backs down like the idiot that she is.
What about Amanda and Jake?
What about them?
She found out this week that the baby's a boy.
And?
She asked for her job at Fusion back. She looks about a month pregnant still. Isn't she like 4 months pregnant?
Who knows? But the thing is, why? Those scenes were stupid. The only reason that I even liked those scenes was because the hot boy that works at Fusion had to get Kendall to sign something.
I love the scenes at Fusion because of Beyonce was on the show.
Beyonce Knowles?
Beyonce Knowles made an appearance at Fusion. She was working at Fusion. She was so happy to work for Erica Kane. It was refreshing.
Is that what you're going to call her?
I'm going to call her Beyonce.
You're going to call her Beyonce?
Bring back Beyonce.
You liked her?
I loved her. You didn't like her? She was so much fun.
Well, considering that you got like all these other people that are dead behind the eyes, sure, she was the life of the party. Mm-hmm. All the single ladies.
They did that on Dancing with the Stars. You missed it.
I don't watch that show. Let me tell you something. The fact that ABC keeps renewing that show, I know it's like number one when it's on, but it's just, to me, it's such a stupid show. I can't get into it.
You're wrong. I love it so much.
I just can't get into it. I prefer So You Think You Can Dance. I'd rather see real dancers.
I adore it.
You know, ABC announced.
Those dancers are incredible.
They're picking up all the usual suspects. This is the time of the month. May is the time of the month when they announce their fall schedules.
Oh.
So I'm always very nervous during this time because I wouldn't know which of my shows is going to get the axe. ABC is picking up all the usual suspects, which is nice because, you know, I love my shows, but they're not preparing themselves for the fact that some of these shows are in the last year or so of their run. And they need to really show a little bit of respect to these new shows.
Do we have confirmation that Chrishell is leaving? Chrishell Stouse?
Supposedly she is.
We have confirmation?
Supposedly she is. But wait a minute.
What?
Did we finish?
Not really.
They did a seance.
Oh, yeah. For Jesse. I mean,
for Frankie. They did a seance. I know it's supposed to be a prayer.
Because the power went out.
But it looked more like a seance. I expected Opal to come in.
You're right. I did too.
It was stupid. See, this is what I'm talking about. It was dumb.
I love when Erica was talking with Zach about Adam, and it was raining and lightning, and every time the lightning struck or the thunder clapped, Erica like looked up in fear, trembling.
Yeah, but I thought she had gotten over that. She told Adam that when she was in the hospital.
Oh yeah, you're right.
She had told Adam, she goes, "Remember when I didn't like storms?" I mean, this is what I'm talking about. The dialogue was so dumb in that scene when she was talking to Adam. It made absolutely no sense. And yet, here she is jumping when the storm. Like, and of course, you guys know that this is the perfect storm.
I feel like Chrishell Stouse could make it actually out there.
I told you she could.
See, I'm just, I don't think she's the best actress, but that never stops. It's not about being a good actress.
Do you not ever watch any of the shows in the CW?
I know, you're right.
You don't need to be Shakespeare. You don't need to be theater trained.
Because I actually think Alexa's a better actor than she is.
Who?
Alexa Havens is a better actor than Chrishell Stiles.
And she hasn't gotten anywhere.
She hasn't gotten much.
She was in 21 Dresses in the very end.
I didn't see her in that. I saw that whole movie and I missed her.
She's in the very end. She's the bride.
Oh, really? But she didn't have any lines, did she?
Yeah, she has lines. Oh. At the very end of the scene when Catherine Hegel jumps in the boat.
I gotta YouTube that because I don't remember.
You're sounding more and more like Adam Chandler. What is wrong with you?
He's looking at me like a... I saw her in Rescue Me. I thought she was fantastic.
Oh, she was great in Rescue Me.
She
did a great
job. She played this like Jabberjaw, like yeah, horny girl.
And Dennis Leary's character was trying to like bang
shut
her.
She and have sex where she just wouldn't shut up.
She would not shut up.
Oh, she did a great job. She was nothing like Babe. She was just a great...
That's the thing. That's the first thing that I saw her outside of All My Children. And I said, you know what? This girl needs to get out of All My Children. She could do so much better. Yeah, and I was so upset that her husband got work before she did because I think her husband's an idiot.
I don't.
I'm sorry. He is not talented. He cannot act. He's a pretty boy who I don't even think is pretty.
I don't think.
He's a troll. I don't like him.
He is, but I don't. I think he's.
I've always thought he was ugly. I like Micah Alberti as Jamie.
I know you do, and I that.
My little Micah Alberti.
He's jailbait, baby.
He's cute.
Oh my god.
He's not jailbait. He's an age.
Is he of age?
You know
now?
Who he dates? He dates Rumor Willis.
Really?
You know, Demi and Bruce's daughter that looks like
with
Jay
the
Leno.
Long head.
Yeah, she's like Jay Leno.
Yes. Do we have anything else we need to say about All My Children?
Only that the worst is yet to come.
Oh, no, don't say it. Please.
It's May. It's the perfect storm.
Think positively.
The perfect storm.
Oh, I can't talk about this man. Please.
The perfect
Fire
storm.
Fire Pratt.
Oh, I saw American Idol this week.
You did?
I had to because they were doing standards, and I love the old stuff. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, if you were going to be judging on those performances, just on those performances and nothing else, then it should come down to Chris and Allison because they were the best. Danny was okay, and you know I've been a big Danny survivor, but what's his name?
Adam.
The one that got voted out? No, the one that got voted out?
Oh, Matt.
He was dreadful. He overkilled that song with so many riffs.
You're so wrong.
You liked his version of it?
I sure did.
I did not like that
version. I thought Adam was the weakest this week.
Oh, I hated Adam this week.
Thank
but then
you.
I hate Adam every week. He thinks he's Patti LaBelle.
I can't watch anymore because I've run out of penicillin.
Look, you dizzy queen. No matter what you do, you're never going to be a black woman, so stop it.
I do not have any more antibiotics left in the house. I cannot watch him anymore.
You are a white gay man. You are not a black woman.
Oh, my God.
Stop screeching like that.
He's talented. I'm not going to give him that, but...
No, I don't...
He's not my cup of tea.
I don't like him. Let me say something. When I heard that
he... He's proactive.
That he... Does he?
He does.
When I heard he was in the bottom, I was like, he should be. That was a horrible performance.
You know why I'm glad about that, though, more than anything? Because I think they have blown him up, his ego up so much on this show. I think he needed that notch down.
But you know what, too? Is that some of the people have talked to him about the overdoing it. And instead of taking their advice, he does...
Who has?
Didn't somebody once commented about
baby? I don't think so.
I mean, maybe they didn't say it like I did and say, look, you're not a black woman. But I think that by now he should know that, or if he reads any of his blogs and stuff, all the like sites, he should know that some people are a little bit over him screeching and screaming at the top. Why don't you try something different? Every week he does the same thing. That was for you, WMDB.
That's a hit song. That's coming out next week by Adam.
And you guys have to realize, Adam, look, you guys got to realize, we joke a lot. And we never mean to hurt anybody's feelings.
We
Susan and Elise,
do.
I adore and love you. All right? The fact that we mention you all the time just shows how much we adore and love you.
That's right.
And the same
thing. If you
thing,
get a mention on this show, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And
we
and,
got a
and
lot of
same,
people writing us.
And the same thing for you, WMBDV Ingalls. I love
WMD.
You to end. What is it?
WMD.
WMD.
Yes.
I gotta remember that.
We love him. He's our little Alex P. Keaton.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are like, I mean, the only time that we're serious and is when we talk about it's Gail and Chuck Pratt and Julie Crapothers
and Brian Franz
and Judy Blight Wilson.
And Judy Blight.
Those are the only people we hate and that we don't, you know, that's it.
Everyone else, we just love you.
We're just having fun. Believe me.
But there's one thing we will not apologize for.
I have to go to Canada.
I know, we do.
I mean, Luke McFarlane's my husband.
I love the Canadians.
I gotta go to Canada. You know Luke McFarlane's from Canada.
I didn't know that.
I keep putting it out there in hopes that... Because you say that if you put things out there in the universe, it's gonna happen.
Eckhart Tolle says that. That's right. No, that's the secret.
What's
putting
the secret?
Putting good positive things out there. The secret.
Luke McFarlane, I love you. I love you and you will love me too. We will have many kids and live happily ever after.
Oh my God. There's one thing I will not apologize for.
And what's that?
My love of One Life to Live.
Woo! One Life to Live was hot this week. Oh,
you people. Oh my God. You got 10 minutes. Advance your iPods at least 10, maybe 15.
Oh, my God. Can we first start with the people that we neglected last week? Jess and Brody.
Camoli.
First of all, I say that it's summertime. There is no reason that Brody needs to be walking around with any kind of shirt on whatsoever.
I forgive it.
It's the summer. I say let him keep his shirts off for the whole summer storylines.
Why not?
When you got a body like, and I'm not a body person.
It's global warming.
I'm not a body person, but that is art. His body is art.
Delicious.
Did you see on Tuesday's episode when he was talking to Gigi and the Gigi, wee wee,
wee wee, Gigi. Comment allez-vous, Gigi?
It's like I like that. All right. He was looking at Gigi in the hallway, and there was one scene when they came back to them, and the camera started on his abs and then panned up. I was like, that was hot. You knew Frank Valenti must have been directing that day.
They were so sexy when they finally made love.
Oh my God. Let me tell you
granted,
something.
Granted, the story is bull, people. I have not been a defender of the story, but.
Yeah, but you
I
know
love
what? If it gave me scenes like that, it's worth the ludicrous storyline.
And
because
you wanna know
the
something?
Fact that she was grilling him and she's like, well, how do I know? And he's like, no, I want you. And when he said that, I was like, oh.
He said, I want to make love with you.
Oh my God,
I couldn't take it. I was now.
I was moist. I was so damp.
But you know what I loved about it? Let's take away the sex. Here's what makes it incredible. Number one, build up.
Mm-hmm.
We had a beautiful build up with these two. And we had an incredible trust develop and then get broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to work through that broken trust. And they did. And number two, this is a woman who lost the love of her life, Nash. Okay? This is the first time she's making love since she lost her husband. That is a big deal to a woman. That is a huge, huge deal. You are never more vulnerable than when you're making love to a man. And her making love to him and being able to just give in to him and have that time with him, it was sexy. It wasn't sentimentalized. It was like sexy. It wasn't raunchy.
No,
it was both.
Beautiful.
It was beautiful. Two people who care about each other, love making.
Everything
hot,
about
sexy,
it was
everything.
Hot. The fact that she had to leave to go back to her kids and
yep.
he walked out of the yep. door. And then yep. when he went yep. back in the room and he did that little jump onto the bed because he was happy.
Oh, I was so happy.
He was like, I got some.
It was like he was 15 years old.
Yeah, he was like, I got
adorable.
Some.
And she was like, had that little pep in her step and that blush in her cheek.
I know.
Amazing.
Well, even what Vicky called her on that, yep. Vicky was like, Jessica. Vicky, that uptight.
It was great. Oh,
it was.
I have the chills.
Jesse and I have to disagree with you. From my taste and my opinion, I don't think Nash is the true love of her life. And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Because when she fell in love with
you
Nash,
know better than me.
When she met Nash, she was
is it
Tess.
Christian?
No, she met
what's his name?
She was married to Antonio.
Right.
But she was Tess met Nash.
Oh.
And she chose Nash because supposedly her personalities were integrated.
Okay.
So I don't look at Nash as being her true love because I feel like you are crazy. You got split personalities.
I don't have the history you have with
I
you.
Want Brody to be her true love. Whoa.
Okay, but listen, but
I'm very Brody
okay,
and Jess.
Okay, but still, regardless, she
yes.
had a child with
no,
Nash.
No, I agree
she
with you.
She was devastated by
no,
his love.
I, see, but
so
this
I hear
is,
what you're saying.
But this is why you brought up a good point. See, that's good writing.
Yeah.
That's good writing. When you think all these things logically through, that's good writing.
Oh, I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna cry.
Let me tell you,
it was
so good. Oh my God. And then, of course, the other love making this week, Todd and Taya. Oh my God. What are we gonna do?
It makes me giggle. All right, first of all, I gotta address something.
What?
One thing.
What?
I'm getting a lot of flack for criticizing Trevor St. John as Todd. Now, I'm gonna tell you something. It's not that I think he's always horrible. I actually think he's been fantastic since he started actually playing ball with Taya. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He gets moments to meet people where I understand what you're saying, that he's subtle and rich kid and that. I truly believe that there are times in this work that he's lazy. We've read enough interviews to know his acting technique and style to know that there are times...
There's a little bit of holes in his acting.
There's a little bit of holes there. There's a little bit of laziness there. And I see it personally. That's how I feel. That's my humble opinion. But I will absolutely agree with all of you that he is doing a bang up job lately.
Oh my God. Him and Taya are too much.
Literally and figuratively. Not only is the sex between them awesome, the little knowing looks. When he got to court with her... And he was just, like, looked at her and was, like, ribbing her.
And she rolled her eyes in disgust.
Rolled her eyes, but you know that she liked it. You know what I mean? Like, it was great.
Him and Taya, let me tell you something. This, I'm actually happy because I was a little bit worried about Ron C when it came to this. Because, you know, this is the first time that we're really seeing Todd and Taya the way Todd and Taya are. Because... I gotta tell you, this is very reminiscent about her and Roger Howard.
They didn't make love for a long time, right? We never saw them make love.
I from what I remember, the first time that they had sex was when Roger Howard and her were on that beach on that island, Laws. That could be wrong, but that because the whole purpose of the, when they were together the first time was the fact that he was never able to have sex because of the fact that he's so scarred by everything that's happened to him.
Yeah. And the only thing he could do was have violent sex.
Yeah, it has to be, you know. So, I mean, I gotta tell you, I'm really enjoying Todd and Taya. I know people are saying that she's only on for a little bit of time, but I think that's a big mistake. One Life to Live. Pay her the moon. This is an actress who I swear is these kind of soap diva, a la Kim Zimmer, a la Robin Strasser. She is phenomenal.
Her pedigree, her background, everything she's done, she is a very accomplished stage actress.
I mean, yeah.
They're
lucky to have her. She's brilliant. I mean, you guys, talk about, you know, you go from All My Children, Dead Behind the Eyes, Randy, and then you come to Taya, who's so subtle and alive and versatile, and she plays
Todd
so many moments.
Her eyes. See, she cracks me up because she's not a small actress. Like, you know exactly how she feels about everything. And sometimes, for me, with Todd, with Trevor St. John, that's a little awkward because he's so low-key. But I do love, like, when he turned her around, when he got to the hotel room and turned her around and just kissed her on the neck, she was like, I freaking loved it.
I loved it. I loved the next day when Dorian busted in.
Yes!
And there was somebody tossed behind the door, and he's, like, trying to kiss her. And she's talking to Dorian, and Dorian's like, we got to go in there and win. And Taya's like, yeah, we're going to nail him. And she's like, yeah, we're going to arrive. And Dorian is egging her on, and she's, like, going with Dorian just to get her out of the door. Dude, that's funny. That's good humor, and that was a good twist.
But some of our bloggers were not happy with the fact that Todd got custody of the kids.
Well, no, we shouldn't be happy. But, I mean, Todd's a nutcase. I wouldn't want him to have my kids
either. It really does strain, you know, the truth a little bit here. He's not, there's no way any court would give him the kids.
Well, but yeah, but where would the kids would have to go somewhere.
They'd have to go somewhere, but they're not going to go with him.
Yeah, but as the judge said, Dorian's not an option. She's just as got as much felonies as Todd does.
But no judge in their right mind is going to give
those
kids
to Todd. But he's the biological father.
But he's a freaking criminal in a nutcase.
But he's the father.
But he's a criminal in a nutcase.
Look, it was wrong. But you know what? It made for a good story. Because let me tell you something. When he went to the house to get those kids, those were some intense scenes.
Well, this is where you're right. And this is where the brilliance of Ron Carlovati interweaving stuff is so fantastic. Because while Todd is trying to reclaim his kids, Star is actually trying to help Cole rehab.
Oh, my God.
And people, this is no joke. They're doing this real. This kid could literally die without her there. He could jump through a window. He could. If he's, you know, listen, I don't really know. I don't really see where his drug use was that. We never saw him popping pills like every second, every day. So that's a little bit extreme for me. But still, the kid was hooked on these pills and withdrawing from drugs and all that stuff that of the kind that he was on would make you crazy. And he really does need Star basically to survive. It's basically life or death.
No, he's been using on a regular basis.
I know, but we don't really see. We see him take like one pill every so often. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of use.
No, I know
use,
what you're talking about.
You know, I mean, the kind of use that he's withdrawing from would be a little heavier.
Yeah.
But he said that. He said he never stopped using. He admitted
right.
it. So I'm buying that, okay? And that's where I love the interweaving. And the other thing I'm going to point out, people, is that this is soaps. This is soap opera. They're going to be holes. There have always been holes in every single story we've ever watched. It's 5 hours of television a week. It's a lot to tell. I can suspend my disbelief on certain things.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about this.
But see, this is what I was telling you. It's when you're invested and when you're engrossed, you overlook those little things because you're so riveted by what you're watching. That's the kind of difference between All My Children and One Night to Live. The fact that we're watching All My Children and we're noticing all these things means that you're not doing your job, Pratt Hall.
But I also
you're not
think,
making this in you know.
But even more so, there are things that are sacred when you tell stories. Mm-hmm. And I think what Ron C. And what the people at One Life to Live are doing are staying very true to the characters. These characters are consistent and they're how we know them. Okay.
Yes.
That's so important. You don't break that rule. And the other thing is that I can only take but so much bullshit. I'm sorry. There's a point at which it becomes so stupid and so over the top that you just can't stomach it. And I don't find that these people at One Life to Live do that. I'm sorry.
No, I mentioned today that those Cole and Star scenes were incredible when she was
so
telling him
good.
That when he was lying in her lap and she was telling him the story of when the guy met the girl and it was they're basically
was their
story. I was crying up a storm. And then the good thing that Ron's,
I was glad though, just to interrupt, I was glad because I don't have the history with the show that you have, so I hadn't really seen all that. So I was loving seeing
Oh
that.
Yeah, you
it
know what
beautiful.
It reminded me of? Greg and Jenny.
It did. I'm sorry.
That kind of love when you know it's the soulmate and it's the right person. And the
unlike Randy and Frankie,
yeah.
Do not remind me of Jesse
and Angie. Exactly.
Please. Just because you say it, don't make it true, you prat hole.
So the thing that I love too about the writing is how everything's balanced out because like you're seeing Star retelling the story and I'm crying like a little biatch. And then it cuts to Todd and Taya, the court scene where Taya rolls her eyes at Todd and I'm laughing while I'm crying still.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did it in another episode where again it was starring Cole making me cry and then they cut to little Matthew getting his gift from his brother David.
Oh my god.
And he was so cute, little Matthew, because he's like, oh I get it, because I'm sitting down all day. I was like,
the have a seat.
Yes, yeah. The have a seat. I thought that was hysterical.
But I also adore little Sam with the glasses.
Oh, my God.
And I adore Jack. Jack is a mini Todd.
Yeah, Jack. Well, you know who Jack, that's the way Star was when she was a little girl. Star
oh, really?
Was a really obnoxious child. She's only been nice since she grew up.
But I hope
up.
They keep him that way. I love it.
He's an obnoxious little.
He is. I love
they,
it.
I don't know where they found
and
this little
Todd
actor, but he
loves
is
it. Todd
funny.
Eggs him on and encourages his behavior like nobody's business.
He is so funny.
Business.
But I got to tell you, the scenes that I love this week, I love the adults too. I mean, Dorian
and. But you got to mention two other teens.
Who? Oh, Marco
and Langston.
Love me some Marco and Langston.
They
were
talked
great.
About making love for the first time, people. And it was no... See, it just felt like... So I keep saying I'm like a broken record. I'm corny. But it felt so real to me mm-hmm. because she even said like, okay, great. We'll make a date for you to deflower me. You know what I
yeah.
mean? Like, it was like... But that's the truth of it. It wasn't like all like after school special and like they're planning to make love. They're planning on the day that they're going to make love. We know something's going to happen. We know Lola's going to come in the middle of it somehow.
Oh, that bitch,
that
Lola.
Bitch, you know? And, and you know, you worry because, like, you know, you're kind of, as an older person, you're like, ooh, should they be doing this? Like, what's, you know? But I just loved how they dealt with it. He obviously loves her. He was so funny because he asked the question, what are we waiting for? You know what I mean? I don't know. I love
Langston and Marco. I love Langston and Marco. I mean,
she's
they were
a sweetheart. I love
they're,
that girl.
They're very good. I
love that girl.
I mean, honestly, the only people I don't like on the show are Gigi.
Gigi.
And who else? Who's the other one I don't like?
You love Stacey.
I love me some Stacey. Stacey's mom. Oh, no, that was Stacey's mom, though.
No, you like everybody else. I can't think of anybody else you don't like.
I don't care for Natalie that much.
Oh, Natalie. Oh.
Yeah.
Oof.
Snatchily.
Oof.
But the thing that I love, the adults this week... Again, I still don't understand how they're going to get rid of A. Martinez. Ray and Dorian had the only scenes this week where you could see that these... And I was telling Ashley about this. My problem is, you know what? Dorian deserves some happiness and some love. She has not had a there's been, like, two men in her life that really were there for her back in the 70s and 80s. And then, of course, Mel in 1990, in the late 90s. And they killed Mel off. It's like, give the woman a bone. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love David and Dorian. I think David and Dorian are a hoot to watch. But Dorian needs the kind of man that's going to be her equal in every way. And Ray's the first guy that's come along that can do that, because Clint certainly wasn't. She could wipe Clint off the floor. She needs a man that's going to put her in her place and be her equal. And those scenes with them were so beautiful when she left them with Blair's kids, and he took control of those kids. And that she walked great. When she walked in and she found, you know, Jack doing the project and Sam in Ray's lap. And I was just like, I want this to continue. I don't want this to end. I want Ray and Dorian as a super couple. Why are you getting rid
tell
of him?
Tell me about Bo and Nora.
Oh, and then Bo and Nora. Let me tell you, I used to watch One Life to Live when Nora first came on the show and her and Bo hooked up. Bo and Nora were a great couple because it was the first time that they had given Bob Woods somebody his own age in a long time. They kept always putting Bob Woods with all these like younger girls. But, you know, and we were talking about this. I personally don't mind a cougar and a young man, but older guys and young girls always seems pedophile to me. I don't know why.
I agree.
So
it's overdone too.
Yes, definitely. So when Nora came on town, it was a woman who was his age, who was funny, and they complimented each other. And for the first time, Bo has somebody who we all loved and agreed on. I mean, I loved Bo and Nora together. And it was, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but I think Megan McTavish was the head writer at the time, and Jill Farren Phelps was definitely the executive producer when they ruined the Bo and Nora story and, like, tore these two apart. And, like, Bo and Nora have never even come close to getting back together until now. And it's been worth the wait, because let me tell you something. I want my Bo and Nora back together.
I don't want to spoil anything, but are the spoilers out there about them or no?
I mean, it's obvious that it's heading that way. A lot of people do not like her with Clint. They think they're a snore fest.
I agree with that.
I will tell you this. There is supposedly going to be a double wedding coming soon.
No more. Don't say anymore.
But all I know is that I love me some Bo and Nora. And the scenes with Bo and Nora were so good in the car. Yeah. So believable. So heartfelt. Yeah. I just adored it. I adored my Bo and Nora. It was really good this week.
You know, we got a little. I even like Skylar pulling that blood on Stacey.
Oh yeah, Skylar. Oh, we need to.
He's such a good actor.
He is a very good. What about that dream? The hallucinations that Cole was having, where everybody was visiting him. That was deep.
Yeah,
everybody was great. So it was a really good weekend.
Good week, people.
Oh wait, I know you want to cut it. I got it. One last thing. I love that, because actually Jenny, I think, was the one who was asking on the blog. Yes, that is the original Powell, Lord, and Zach playing their roles. And that's another good thing that I love. I knew they weren't going to be able to get the real Rebecca back, because for those of you who don't know, Rebecca, I think that was a good twist that it's Rebecca who is helping Powell. But the real Rebecca was Rachel Aylesworth, who was Michelle on 24.
I always love that.
And she's on Lost now. So I didn't think they were going to be able to get her back. That's the only person besides, you know, Roger Howarth, not as Todd, that is. But everybody else, they're getting like the original back. And it makes the story more deep. I was shocked. I mean, I knew of Rebecca, but I didn't for a minute think they were going to go down that route. So when it wound up being Rebecca, I was like, get out.
So it's good stuff, people. Good stuff. All right, listen, people. If you want to write us, you can email us pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our blog site, which is at www.pinevalleypodcast.com. You can click on that big fat Pine Valley Podcast logo, which takes you straight to the blog site. Join the fun. We got some astute people on the blog, and we get new people every week. It's so exciting. I love seeing new listeners and new writers. It's awesome.
Welcome.
If you want, you can also interact with us at Facebook. I have a Facebook page, Ashley Mendoza, as well as a Pine Valley Podcast has a fan page. If you just type Pine Valley Podcast in the search box, you'll find us. Also, you must use other resources. We only cover a couple of shows here, but DaytimeConfidential.com, they cover it all. They do it all. You got to go to them. www.daytimeconfidential.com for even more exciting news in the world of soaps. Finally, thank you to Louis2K. And one final shout out to our man, Mr. AMC Super Poster, who is hanging in there showing all the love for this show that he can muster. He shares his spoilers on daytimeconfidential.com, and you can also go to his MySpace page, www.myspace.com/superposteroftheyear. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
Pine E, you genius. You've done it again. What's up, Doc?
Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Wile E. Coyote. Genius. I am not selling anything, nor am I working my way through college. So let's get down to cases. You are a rabbit, and I am going to eat you for supper. Now, don't try to get away. I am more muscular, more cunning, faster, and larger than you are, and I'm a genius, while you could hardly pass the entrance examinations to kindergarten. So I'll give you the customary 2 minutes to say your prayers.
I'm sorry, Mac. The lady of the house ain't home, and besides, we mailed you people a check last week.
Why do they always want to do it the hard way?